It is the Monday Morning Show. I'm Heidi Holton with Michael Small. The new season of the classic movie series at the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork kicks off this Thursday night. Curated and hosted by Jack Nackbar, retired professor of film and pop culture, this month we've got Clark Gable, Jeanette MacDonald, and Spencer Tracy. What's the film, Jack?
The film is San Francisco, 1936, Heidi, and introduced the famous song. Huge star vehicle with three of the biggest stars of the 30s all together in one movie. And the big star, of course, is this film takes place in the historical places is San Francisco in 1906, and we all know what that means. We're going to have somewhere along the line in this movie, we're going to have the great earthquake, and at the time, state-of-the-art special effects. So a movie that has everything. It's got some humor. It's got some great music with Jeanette MacDonald singing, and it has a great long earthquake sequence to climax the movie at the end. It was a huge Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer hit, the top-grossing movie of 1936. So it had what people wanted at the time. And it's kind of prescient, isn't it, that all these terrible natural disasters going on all over the world right now, here comes this movie that I scheduled almost a year ago.
Yeah, I was wondering, how do you do this, Jack? It just lines up.
it's instinct. I've seen too many movies, I guess. Sometimes they plug in perfectly.
Now, Jack, is this an odd combination to have Jeanette MacDonald, who was really known for, I think, her singing as much as anything, with Clark Gable? I mean, on the poster it says that they are together for the first time and they were born to fall in love.
Yeah. Well, actually, they are together for the first time in this movie. She had been around, Jeanette MacDonald had, as well as Clark Gable. They became stars about the same time in the early 1930s. His career then had just taken off. Hers had had its ups and downs. She did some operettas early on in the sound era and was a little bit of a star, and then did some things which weren't very popular. Then in 1935, she made a sudden comeback with Nelson Eddy and Naughty Marietta, and an even bigger hit with Rosemarie in 1936. So she was just re-entering major stardom, and actually Louis B. Mayer at MGM had a little bit of a crush on Jeanette MacDonald, and so she went and said she wanted to do a movie with Clark Gable. It was her choice, and Gable didn't want to work with her. She was a bit of a diva, and also he knew that there was a danger that she'd dominate the movie, because if she's going to be in it, she's going to sing, and he didn't want to take second place to a singer. So, but he was under contract, and Mayer insisted, and so put them together anyway. So it is the first time they're together, but it's the only time they're together, which is kind of too bad, because I think if anybody goes and sees this movie, they'll see some quite good chemistry, even though the two stars barely got along, frankly.
So no shenanigans. They did not get together personally during
the
movie.
No, and which is unusual, because if you read much biographical information about Clark Gable, the character he plays on screen was a good deal like he was in real life. And he had relationships, it seems to me, with half the big stars in Hollywood along the way. But not with Jeanette MacDonald. And, by the way, not with Myrna Loy either, who I did half a dozen movies with him. But they were good friends, but that was all. But the rest of Hollywood seemed to fall at his feet.
Well, I saw just a little clip of this, and I just, the way, the language and the way he's speaking, he calls her sister. Hey, sister. And I just love that. Kind of describe what's his character that he plays in this, Clark Gable.
Okay, it's kind of typical Clark Gable. Now, people who don't follow Clark Gable, of course, will remember him for Gone with the Wind and Rhett Butler. And Rhett Butler, people demanded that he play that role, and with good reason, because he'd been playing it for 10 years. But by the time they did it, and he's always a character who is a little bit shady, maybe questionable past, not a terrible person, but somebody who goes beyond the acceptable. In this case, he's Blackie Norton, who runs the most notorious joint on the Barbary Coast, the wicked area in San Francisco at the time, and he has the hottest nightclub going there. And he's also typically absolutely irresistible for women. But the deal is, he's not the sleazy cad that sleazy cads often are. That is, he doesn't lie to women. He doesn't have to. They come to him. And he also doesn't make dishonest promises to them. And so that makes him a little bit honorable in this whole thing. And the deal with Jeanette McDonald in the movie is her character. She's kind of off a country girl who is the daughter of a preacher, and she's a sweet, innocent girl, and he's frustrated by that. He's not used to that kind of women. He's used to women coming up and offering themselves to him, and he's not one to often turn them down. But this case, he has to woo her, and that's a little bit different kind of a life for Blackie Norton.
And there's some competition, isn't there?
Oh yeah, there's Jack McDonald in the movie, playing the kind of the scion of Nob Hill. He's real rich, and he has put up a opera house. And when he hears Jeanette McDonald sing, he realizes that she's a talent that goes way beyond just operating in Blackie Norton's nightclub, and wants her for the opera. Gable actually gives her a chance to do it, but she says, no, I'm going to remain loyal. I signed a contract with you, and I'll stay here, and is becoming increasingly attracted to him. But he does some things that offend her, and she does go off for a while with Jack Holt and becomes a huge opera star, and he proposes to her, and she accepts. And so we have the kind of critical love triangle thing going on in this movie before the earthquake comes along and settles things.
And so does Father Tim Mullen, played by Spencer Tracy, is he a mediator in this relationship?
Well, he is and he's not. Tracy's priest and Gable's Blackie were childhood pals. So they've known each other since they were kids together. And so they're really, really tight friends. But on the other hand, they're actually completely, of course, on the other opposite sides of the moral ladder. Gable is running a dive on the Barbary Coast, and Tracy is the good, virtuous priest running a mission in that section of town. And McDonald becomes the source of tension between them because she's drawn, obviously, to Clark Gable, but she's also drawn in a non-romantic way, of course, to Spencer Tracy, because he represents, in a way, her father. And Tracy intervenes. He says, you can't exploit this woman. You can't do it. And she falls under his influence, and that's one reason why she goes to the opera house instead of staying in the Paradise, which is the name of Clark Gable's nightclub.
That's Jack Nackbar. We're talking about the 1936 film San Francisco. It is the first in the series this year of classic movies at the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork. Thursday night is when it's showing. Jack, tell us a little bit more about you said it had special effects for the earthquake. Do they stand up in 2017?
Yes and no. I mean, if you go to now and expect something like the contemporary superhero movies, obviously I think you'd be pretty disappointed. They didn't have computers to do all this magical stuff back in 1936. So a lot of it is done by quick cutting and little vignettes and putting stuff on screens in the background. And it, frankly, you know, if you're real critical about movies, it seems kind of cheesy. On the other hand, it was terrific stuff for 1936. It really was. And I think it's easy to get into now because it doesn't just show buildings falling down or cracks in the sidewalk, which it does show, but it'll cut for a few seconds to people and show their fate. So you kind of get interested in what's going to happen to them, and that's contrasted with the big spectacle stuff.
How about the directors of the film?
Okay, our director here is W.S. Van Dyke. He'd been around for a while and was a very popular director with the MGM brass because he was known as one-take Woody. He liked to work very fast, and they loved that because he could bring movies in under budget pretty often, and he could make them and keep them way on schedule or even bring them in a little bit early. He was a good director. He's not one of your big auteurs who has his own great style or anything. But if you look at some of the films he did actually most of the Jeanette MacDonald, Nelson Eddy musicals. So Jeanette MacDonald was very comfortable with him. He did the Thin Man, or several of the Thin Man movies, which were hugely popular. And he did a movie that I like a lot, and I'm going to forget the name of it, Traitor Horn, in 1931, which he actually took his cameras to Africa and filmed an awful lot of stuff for that movie, kind of one of the first great sound jungle movies. And MGM was able to use footage from that movie for years in the Tarzan films that followed it. So we've got a really good, competent director here who'd worked with MacDonald before. Also, interestingly, especially in the earthquake scene, D.W. Griffith, the first great father of American movies, was brought in a little bit for this and did a little bit of the effects for the earthquake on this film.
Now, is the film in color or black and white?
No, it's black and white. Okay. It was black and white. This is 1936, and color, actually, called 3-color Technicolor, was only a year old in live-action movies. They've been using it in Disney cartoons, and it was becoming more and more common in cartoons at the time. But a 1935 movie called Becky Sharp was the first feature-length movie to use 3-color Technicolor, the kind that we're used to. So, no, virtually all movies were black and white in 1936.
And will there be a cartoon?
There will be a cartoon from MGM from the same year as San Francisco.
All right. Sounds great. So that the classic movie series shows San Francisco from 1936 this Thursday night, September 14th at 6:30. It's free and open to the public. Jack, it's so fun to talk to you. We'll check in next month and see what you got showing.
Fun, and women, be ready for thrills and chills with Clark.
All right. Sounds great. You can call us if you need more information, 800-662-5799. I saw a few scenes of it, and it's true. He's very attractive in this movie. He's very young and...